Thank you, Bobby. Now, if Brady knows how to run this. Okay. That was a good sign. The love of God. I want you to ponder in the back of your mind as we're talking, as we're thinking this morning, about the love of God. We all know that throughout Scripture there is so much spoken of love. We are created by our Maker, who penned all of those words. And then we are told, God is love. Our Maker knew the hearts of men that He made. And He gave warning after warning after warning to His creation about hearts, about how our heart can change. Now, it can change for the positive, it can change for the negative. Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. We also see in Jeremiah 17:9-10, God through Jeremiah warned, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. I want to talk to you this morning about the heart and about love and about forgiveness, because much is said on these subjects. And because I believe that if the devil can turn one's heart away from the love of God and instead focus on bitterness of wrong or pain that's been incurred, he can keep that soul. He can keep my soul. He can keep your soul if he turns it away from its God. We're going to be moving very quickly this morning. By my count, there are 12 times in the New Testament where instruction is given to love one another. And in the focus on each one of these is going to be the term for love, as we already talked about. God is love. God is agape. And in every one of these, though other terms are used, including Philadelphia, the brotherly love, and we'll talk about it when we get there. Other than those, what I point out, the love that's said here is the same word as God is love. I'm going to have each one of these on the overhead. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus speaking to the 11 here. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 15, 12, Jesus again to the 11, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Continuing on in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. Romans 13, 8. Paul here. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. As the New American Standard reads there, he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Paul again. But concerning brotherly love, that's where I was, the Philadelphia, concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for yourselves are taught to love, or are taught by God to love one another. Back to agape. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. You should love one another. 1 John 3:23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. 1 Peter 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Verse 12, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. 2 John 1:5, and now I plead with you, lady, as the letter was written to, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. Once again, the primary term in all of those, to love one another in each one of those, 12, is agape. That same that, actually, Bobby read earlier, and I didn't give him the reading, but talked about the love of God. And 1 John 4:8, same word, agape. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is agape. How are we to love one another? With a true, deep, God-like love. So let's consider. God so loved the world, we know John 3:16. He gave His Son as a sacrifice. Romans 5:8. He provided when it wasn't deserved at all. And He forgave. Matthew 26:28. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, for this is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That forgiveness term in Greek literally means to send it away. Whatever it is, send it away. Get rid of it. We understand that to be forgiven of our sins by God, we must have them washed away in baptism, where the blood of Christ gives us life. God established those terms. But Christians do not get to determine the terms of forgiveness. We're just told to do it. And there are ifs. We're going to get to the ifs in a minute. But they're not what we put in our minds. Christians do not get to set the terms of forgiving brethren. So ask again, do I and do you love as God loves? Let's consider something else. Ephesians 4:31. Paul told the Ephesian brethren, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is the opposite of love. So this is where my and where I challenge your soul searching begins. Do you have bitterness in your heart toward another? Strong's literal translation of that bitterness says a strong harshness. Wrath, Strong's gives a literal image of it, a panting rage. We've seen people like that so enraged, don't do it. Anger, Strong's will call it a passion of vengeance. Clamor is literally a shout, a cry out against another. And malice? Malice draws the picture of wickedness, evil, spite. There is a worldly, not biblical, worldly proverb that we all know. I attribute it to the devil. Hurt me once, shame on me. Hurt me twice, shame. Or hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. That is not the picture and not the instruction given to God's people. If we have these in our heart, we need to let these go and send those feelings away. It's not, I forgive, but I'll never forget. Because we see in Jeremiah 31, 34, we see in Hebrews 8, 12, God say, I will remember their sins no more. Matthew 6, 14, 15, Jesus said, and here's the ifs. If you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Mark 11, 25, Jesus also instructed, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. It doesn't say if everything has been met, your full anticipation. If you got the apology, you're fully convinced now that they've repented. It doesn't say that. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will forgive your transgressions. It's not a matter of pride, and it isn't, I don't have to forgive because I just don't feel they've made it up to me yet. That's not what it says. That's what we want to hear when we think we've been wronged. But that is not what Jesus said. And if you and if I want to be forgiven for our trespasses, it says I need to forgive the way I want to be forgiven. Matthew 18, 32 through 35. At the conclusion of Jesus' parable of the unforgiving servant, you recall, a monumental debt, not just a notable debt, a monumental debt that the man had no chance to ever repay. How he got in that much debt, we're not told, but he had a monumental debt. And the master forgave the debt. That same individual went and threw another who had a small debt owed to him, threw him in debtor's prison because of the debt he owed. Starting in verse 32, but summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. He wasn't going to be able to. Verse 35. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Do you want to be forgiven by your Father? Do I want to be forgiven by my Father? He repeated that forgiveness is conditional to us, based on the way we forgive. So I plead with you that you make your decision today like we talked about with the concept of forgive. Send it away. Send away the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, the clamor, the slander, and the malice in your hearts if you have it. And don't harden your heart, but love like God is love, agape love, and forgive. And finally, as we read when we started, Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, God through Jeremiah warned, the heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds.